Welcome to Life in the Land of the Ice and Snow. My name is Heather, and I'm here today with my co-host, Mark. Hello, Mark. How are you doing on this autumn day?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm doing very well, enjoying the vibrant burst of colorful explosions that are the trees right now.
I know. Well, I'm wondering, our guests today are very far north. I'm wondering how this is for them. So today's guests are, I believe, about an hour north of Luleå, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And or somewhere around there. And our guests are Derek and Mimi. Hello, Derek and Mimi.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think over here it's not so vibrant anymore.
Yeah, it was for like a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you guys have snow yet?
No.
They actually said, so this is our second winter here. Our first winter, everyone said, was crazy that it was super cold and it started really early, but really we didn't have anything to compare to, so we were just like, we don't know.
It started today, 1 year ago winter. It just started snowing and never stopped.
Yeah. We had snow was really a September last year. We haven't had snow yet, which is good because we're renovating our house and we're working on the siding and our porch right now, and it's, as of now, we don't even have a door in the porch yet. So I really hope we can finish that before the snow falls.
Yes, so, I hope so. Yeah. But that leads us into why we're talking to you today. So you have a YouTube channel and it's called Project Sweden.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you guys explain what this is all about.
So it was back in, I think, about 2020. We lived in Switzerland and we just decided Switzerland was not working out for us. So we wanted to move somewhere else and we came to Sweden. We heard about Sweden, how beautiful nature was and stuff, and that really attracted our interests. So we figured out, let's go and see like entire country. Really, we were mainly interested on the middle or the north of Sweden. We ended up...
I came from the same place as you, so I don't like cities.
I know. So I should say that Derek is originally from Texas. What part of Texas are you from, Derek?
Humble, north of
Humble.
Houston.
Yeah. I'm from Baytown.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're literally from the same place.
Yes, we are. Wow, we've got to talk
That's
a little later.
Such a coincidence.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Atascocita. So
my friend lives there.
when I was a kid, Will Clayton Parkway, which goes to the airport, was a 2-lane dirt road.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. So I don't want to mess up the timeline here, but we'll get all this in order. So Derek, you're from basically Houston for the rest of our listeners. Yeah. And Mimi, you're originally from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And you guys met up, and if I'm not mistaken, you met up through a mobile game. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. All right.
You
How
did
long
your
ago
homework.
Was that? I did.
Oh, eight years?
Yeah.
So, Derek, what made you decide to come over to Europe instead of Mimi coming to Texas?
Well, we didn't really know what we wanted to do, if I was going to move to Europe or she was going to move to Texas.
We looked into both options.
And then, you know, the great toilet paper shortage happened.
Yes. It's a good way to put that.
And, for a year, we canceled our wedding. And then for a year, we were stuck.
Yeah, we could not see each other.
And then
that's tough.
We started talking to a reporter on Twitter that was with, was it 20 Men in Switzerland?
Yeah, it was.
It's like the largest newspaper in Switzerland. And then they wrote an article about it. And then they interviewed like 20 people.
Yeah.
And Mimi was one of them. And after they did that, the Swiss government decided that we could see each other again.
Yeah.
Wow. So
this movement started that they called Love is Not Tourism, because at that point, like, the bars were open again and you could pretty much do everything you wanted. You just couldn't travel because, you know, you're not allowed to go on vacation.
Can I ask a stupid question? I may have missed something. I might be coming around the bend in last place here, but why was the Swiss government in the mix? Were you living there?
Yeah, we lived there for 5 years.
It was during Corona, during the lockdown.
But so you had already come over and were living in Switzerland.
So I'm from Holland.
Right.
And it was kind of hard. I was studying to be X-ray tech in Holland. It was really hard to get a job there. So I got that opportunity to work in Switzerland. So I moved to Switzerland. Yeah, that's where...
Right after we met, she moved to Switzerland.
Yeah, I already had plans to move there, and then we met. So then he joined me along the road.
And then when they finally let me in Switzerland, we had to sneak into Holland and have our wedding, because I, being American, was not allowed in Holland.
Right. Yeah. You guys got some good background story here.
And really, that's the where the idea came up with starting a YouTube channel, because everyone's like, oh, your story is so interesting. Like,
yes.
Like, you're moving to Sweden. You must have a Swedish boyfriend. No, he's from Texas. Huh? What? But why Sweden? And why North Sweden? No one wants to go there. Why?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can answer your own question on that one. Why North Sweden, especially?
I really like the Northern Lights. And obviously, we get a whole lot of that here. And
oh, how nice.
Yeah, just the nature and the quiet.
Don't think it's all that. Every time there's like this huge Northern Lights, there's clouds.
Yeah. Or they're like at 3 a.m. and we have to work the next day. Like, oh, we really want to see them, but we also need some sleep.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who misses them, because we had quite a few, I think, a few weeks ago.
It's been a crazy
even
year.
Even down to Stockholm. Yeah.
Although they were seeing them in southern Mexico last time.
Wow. I heard it had reached pretty far down recently. Yeah. And I would only hear about this the next day because everyone else would post the pictures. And I was like, you guys, I was like, yeah. I really want to see them, but I am not getting up in the middle of the night. And no. Stockholm's got a lot of the same issues where, of course, it's going to be cloudy if they actually show up most of the time.
We've had to drive for 2 hours north to get out of the clouds so we can watch them.
And then you really want to get out of the towns where there's no light pollution so you can see them better.
Right.
Yeah.
So the little town that you guys are staying in, what's the population around there?
I think the whole commune is like 12,000 people.
Yeah. Where are you exactly?
In Calix.
It's like an hour east of
Our village Lumio. Here is, I don't know, maybe 180 people year-round. But there's about 400 houses. So in the summer, there's full of people.
There's a lot of Norwegians that just have their summer house here. So they just come for the summer.
Huh. So what is it about the northern Sweden in the summer? I mean, I guess the 24-hour light.
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah. Mm.
And low prices, I'm going to guess, at least on living accommodations.
Yes. Yes, that
I don't
was
know.
The other
we just
thing.
Bought our house.
Yeah. So
we looked for houses that we could pay cash for, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So this is something that's very different depending on where you are in Sweden, because of course I'm in Stockholm and it is insane what you would have to pay for a house here.
Yeah.
It's well over $1 million US dollars, most likely, to
that's
have a house.
Crazy.
Yeah, a lot of apartments are around $1 million, maybe a little less in Stockholm.
In Switzerland, they were like 50 square meter apartment in Basel was about 6 million Swiss francs.
It started at 2 million.
Yeah, 2 million for like 30 square meters.
And that was the reason we left too. I mean, it's nice that you get paid a little more, but then if the bills are that so much higher, it's just not worth it.
It's a shame because, I mean, it's beautiful in Switzerland and I've only been a couple times, but it does seem very expensive, at least to me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, not when you get paid in Swiss francs, it's not so bad.
Yeah, but then if you want to buy a house, like...
But if you want to buy a house, we were looking at houses that the roofs were falling in on. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's only 20 million francs. No.
No, thank you. So how much did you pay for your house up north?
It was only 150,000 Swedish kronas. We ended up paying for it.
150,000 kronas?
Yeah. So that would be like about 14,000
US.
Yeah, between 14,000.
But the catch is, you see it on the YouTube video. Yeah. We paid for the land. The house just came with it.
It needs to be completely renovated.
Yeah, so it's over 100 years old, your house, right?
I've
been watching your YouTube channel, and I have to say, it's fascinating, but I love these home renovation shows. And you guys are doing such a fun one. It's so much fun. I was watching where you're ripping out, I think, a radiator, and you see some original wallpaper behind, and then you dig a little more, and it's like, oh, no, wait, there's even more original wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't know
what
you're going
to get.
I've
never seen so much wallpaper.
Yeah. It's a big surprise opening everything up. And
we have a little piece of every layer that I cut out.
We figured we would put them in little frames so when it's all finished, like, we can hang it up to kind of see, like, oh, this is, you know, the different times the house has been in and been through.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. So when did you start on this whole project?
So we bought the house. Ooh. Was it 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We bought it in 21. So we started in the summer of 21.
Mm. Because we figured out we want to go to Sweden. The thing is, we had never been to Sweden before. We figured, you know, maybe we should check it out first. So we planned to explore the north in the winter, because we were like, oh, the winters are going to be really harsh and rough and dark and cold. So if we really want to move there, we should experience what it's like in the winter. So we planned our winter trip in the winter.
So we came in half March, which is not winter.
Yeah, everyone was like laughing at us afterwards because they were like, March? That's the fifth season. That is the pretty winter. That's not even winter anymore. Like, why would you come then?
But to you guys, especially you, Derek, I'm sure that was winter.
No, I lived in Minnesota at the end of high school. So from like 96 to 98. And winters in Minnesota are colder than here.
Well, so. Derek, it looks like you've got a little in common with both of us. Mark, you want to tell Derek where you're from?
Yeah, I grew up in Excelsior, if you know that. Get like hyper-specific places outside of American cities. Minneapolis for the rest of you in the world.
I lived in Casson, Manorville.
Okay.
Right outside of Rochester.
Yeah, okay, sure. So, like, I don't know it super well, but like, I got a lot
well,
of
you drive through
Cannon
if
Falls.
You're,
so.
You drive through if you're coming south.
Yeah, no.
But cool. But if you blink, it's gone.
But I'm glad you're saying this about the temperature, because people, I actually moved here from New York. It's been a while since I've lived in Minnesota, but when I would say that I moved here, you know, to Sweden, and certainly not as far north as you guys, people would be like, why would you come here? It's so, you know, the weather, and how are you handling it? And I'm just like, it's like a winter in Stockholm is really not painful. Like, it's dark and gloomy, but it is cold.
We had like a week of painful days up here.
Yeah, I would say if it gets cold.
But we weren't here for half the week. We were in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And then we flew back to Luleå and a car sitting there frozen. The battery's frozen solid.
That's a little rough.
And then we got home and the plow had plowed all the stuff into our driveway and it was rock hard. And she had to go to work right away.
Yeah, that was a little rough. I would say anything cooler than minus 30, it gets rough because the cars don't start. The buses don't go. So you cannot get yourself anywhere. But I must say, like, the cool days where it gets, I mean, as low as minus 20, are usually really pretty. Like, there's no wind, there's sun, and then, I mean, it's really bright because of the snow.
I was out shoveling snow in this with a beanie and came in pouring sweat, and it was like minus 30 outside.
It's minus 30. He comes in pouring sweat. I'm just looking at him, and he's like, I think I'm turning Swedish now.
Speaking of Swedes and you being outside in their view, are you meeting your neighbors? How are they reacting to your presence?
We get along with all our neighbors.
They are very helpful, I must say, like compared to where we came from, where everyone, I mean, in Switzerland, your neighbors are just like, you know, oh, hey, good
morning.
You
know their name.
You know their name. You don't know much about them. And here, like, as soon as we bought the place, as soon as we got the keys and, you know, we were... our house has been sitting abandoned for 12 years. So as soon as, like, someone drove in, everyone got super curious. Like, oh, someone's finally bought it. They're finally going to do something with it. And they were all, like, really excited. They wanted to know everything
about
us. Well,
they knew, like, when we came to pick up the keys, we didn't even have the keys yet. And we went to the gas station and they're like, oh, you bought the yellow house.
Yeah, everyone knew us before we knew anyone.
We were talking about neighbors. Are all of your neighbors able to speak English? I've heard, Mimi, that you've gotten good at Swedish.
Yeah, I think it helps that, you know, my mother tongue is Dutch, and it's kind of similar in ways to Scandinavian languages. So without ever learning the language, I could kind of already read and figure out, oh, this is kind of saying this and that. So it was pretty easy, I would say, for me to figure out the language. In Switzerland, they speak German, which is another Germanic language, obviously. So that's also quite similar.
Right. Yeah,
and I actually needed...
Swiss German is not German. Don't let her fool you.
Different, but
how
the
different
same,
is
but
it?
Different.
It's very different. I can understand High German perfectly. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Swiss German, I was really confused all the time. Like, what are y'all saying?
Yeah, it's a very different dialect. This is true. You get used to it.
Oh, yeah.
So I did have to pass a language exam in order for me to work in a hospital here, because I'm an x-ray tech. All in all, it took me a year to learn the language and get fluent in Swedish.
That's very quick, at least in my opinion. But I guess when you have other languages behind you, maybe your brain's a little better wired to take in new things.
Yeah, and you can kind of see the similarity. So I think the more languages you can speak, the easier it is to learn a new one.
Derek, what about you?
I went to SFE, and I got to skip the first two classes because I know how to hold a pencil.
That's literally what they said.
The level.
That's literally what they told me.
Yeah.
But I did SFE every day for a year.
Yeah.
But I don't really speak. I can listen and answer in English, but I don't really speak. I don't think I'm to the point where I even feel comfortable speaking.
I can understand that. I think the listening and the reading comes first. Speaking and writing are some of the last things. But that's pretty normal.
Well, that's pretty much what SFE was just reading and writing. Yeah. And occasionally the teacher would talk, which she was a good teacher. Like, she would help me with stuff, but she would just tell me, you need to speak. You need to speak. And I'm like, no.
I don't know how to put it together.
Yeah. No, that can be tough. So, Derek, I was looking up a little bit of background on you, and you were also renovating houses back in Houston. So you have experience in this, which is why I'm going to guess that it wasn't such a big leap for you guys to buy a house to fix up.
No. For me, I mean, the hardest thing here is just finding materials. You know, we have three stores here and everything's like, oh, you can order it. And okay, well, when's it going to come? Real fast. That's not an answer.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 5 weeks. And I'm like, no, we needed it yesterday.
Well, Mimi, do you have any experience in home renovation or anything like that?
I was always interested in it. I've never renovated houses before. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a new thing for me in that way, I guess.
What do both of your families think when you talk about, oh, now we're just going to up and move to the very north of Sweden and renovate a house?
Oh, my family. I guess,
was already in Europe.
I have five brothers and three sisters, and they live all over the place in the U.S.
Wow.
So we were kind of separate already.
Can I guess for you that they're like, oh, didn't you already live in Sweden? Oh, Switzerland? They're not the same place?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. We exactly got those comments.
My brother came right before we moved, came to Switzerland with his girlfriend. They thought like, oh, we can see all of Europe in 2 weeks.
I'm like, I've been here for 30 years. I haven't even seen half of it.
Yeah.
So we're taking them to Germany and to France and to Liechtenstein. And they walked into Austria, and he's like, oh, the police were looking at me. I was like, dude, it's Schengen. They don't care where you walk.
Yeah. I believe that when I was watching your videos, you mentioned the type of wildlife that you have around there. You have bears, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen any.
Okay.
In the next village over, they said there's four of them. So I would imagine they're here, too. I mean, the forest is connected.
We have seen pictures of footprints around Calyx. So, yeah, they're definitely close.
We have moose, and we have our Risogrund reindeer that live down the road.
Yeah, right down the street, there's, like, always these the same reindeers.
They don't even care if you're there. You can, like, drive right next to them, and they just look at you and keep walking down the road.
So they're just, like, wild reindeer. They're not owned by...
I'm sure they're part of somebody's herd.
Yeah, they're owned, but there's always, like, these odd ones that kind of wander off and don't want to be part of the group. They kind of get separated.
It's kind of exciting just to hear about all this. And then, we got reindeer next door.
We have the little Swedish deer. I don't know what they're called. You would think it was a fawn if you saw like one of our whitetails in Texas compared, but they're full grown.
How did you get the idea to start a YouTube channel?
So we were like, first off, we want to renovate a house. And then we were like, we want to move to Sweden and, you know, north of Sweden. Everyone is always asking us, like, why so far away? Why would you move there? Even the Swedes that live up here are like, but why would you move here?
Well,
you know?
Even pre-coronavirus, like, she would either come to the States or I would come to Europe, like, every other month. And then while in Europe, like, one weekend, we were like, oh, let's go to Budapest. So we just hopped on a plane and went to Budapest, you know? And people are like, yo, y'all travel so much, like you go everywhere. Y'all should have a YouTube channel.
And then the other thing, how a Dutch girl lives in Switzerland and then meets a guy from Texas. Like, how does that work? I don't know. Everyone was always very interested in our lives. And we were like, you know, we should record this. Really, to start off with, so our family can kind of, you know, keep up with what we're doing. How is the renovation going? What does it look like and everything? So
yeah, because my parents, you know, bless them, they want to come over here, but they're pushing 80.
Yeah.
And their health is not so good.
Yeah.
And they both have aneurysms and they're like, we want to fly over. I'm like, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, with the pressure and everything. Oh, that's rough. So you had a YouTube channel going before this Project Sweden.
Oh, I opened one when I was like 13 years old. I was like, I'm going to be a YouTuber, you know? And then I made like one video, which obviously did not work out. And I always had that account. I just never did anything with it. So that's why it said it's like made in 2013 or something. But so it's an old account. I just never really uploaded anything apart from like these one or two videos that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But now with Project Sweden, I mean, you have several thousand subscribers.
It's and at this point, we have 5,300 something.
We're hoping for 8,000 maybe by Christmas.
Honestly, yeah. I thought it would take like a year to go through getting subscribers and viewers and getting monetized. And I was like, oh, after a year, maybe we can start making some money. Then I uploaded our first video, which is kind of about, we decided to move to Sweden and this is the house.
I bought an abandoned house in Sweden.
It ended up getting 20,000 views in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd ask if you have any tips, but maybe you don't want to let people in on your secret. Do you think it's just keywords or people are just, I mean, it's a fascinating topic.
You need a good story. You need an interesting story. And I think why so many people are interested about our story, though, is we had so many people that told us like, oh, I wish I would travel, or, you know, oh, maybe when I'm older, I can move places. And like, yeah, we always say, like, just go for it.
I have friends in Texas that still say it. Oh, you know, when I retire, I'm going to do this. I'm like, no, you won't.
No, you have to do it now. You don't know what tomorrow holds around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm like, when you retire, when you're 67 in the work culture in the U.S., you're going to be like this old man or old woman that can barely move. Like, you're not going to do all this stuff. You need to do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the means, I mean, I know not everybody can up and do that, but if you want to do it, I'd say start planning earlier than retirement.
We didn't have the means when we met. Like, I was just starting my business. Yeah, the first 3 years was miserable in Texas, like barely making any money, but I was flying to see her all the time.
That'll drain you a little bit.
Yeah, it did. But yeah, no, you just got to make it work, and it takes some courage, of course. But
Then moving to Switzerland was like, I'm here, and I had my two suitcases, you know, and I just stayed.
I'll get the rest.
Literally
later.
Everything was in Texas in storage.
Have you brought things over by now, or do you still have a lot of stuff in storage?
No, I gave it away. So I had a partner, semi-partner that I started the business with me, but he was never really involved. He just wanted to do the work. And then when I left, he kind of started doing his own thing. And I told him, we'll just go take all the tools, like, what, 3 or 4 months ago. I said,
recently.
I said, just take it all because I'm not coming back for it. So
you guys are definitely in the mindset that you're not going to move to the States. You will stay in Europe. Are you at this point feeling like you're going to stay in Northern Sweden?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is our place.
Okay.
Till they kick us out.
Why would they? It's hard to say. Like, I don't know. Growing up in Holland, it never really felt like home. Even though I'm obviously Dutch. But yeah, I don't know. It always felt like something was missing or something was off. Mm-hmm. And then I had that same feeling really in Switzerland. And as soon as we landed here, like, we both knew, like, this is it. This is where we're supposed to be.
Oh, wow. Mark asks if we had any opportunities to interact with the Sami.
Yes, so Mark's microphone is messed up right now, and he wants to know, because in the north there is a lot of the Sami people and culture. Have you interacted with any of them or experienced any of that?
Well, we had a friend here that was dating a Sami guy, but I think they're splitting up now.
Yeah, I have a coworker that is actually Sami.
The other experience I've had with him was just we're starting a jewelry business.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we get materials from a Sami guy.
Yeah, he has a herd of reindeer.
So he has a herd of reindeer, and we buy shed antlers from him.
Oh, wow. So you're making jewelry out of shed antlers.
We're going to make rings and earrings. And
pendants. I love that idea.
Honestly, though, Mimi's been further north than me. I've been to Overcalix.
I would love to get to know the Sami better, though. Like, I like the idea of how they live with nature.
I think it would be good. Eventually, we'll make some Sami friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked in Payala, but it was just work. Like, we worked and then we came back.
Yeah. So as soon as you go up north, I think around an hour, that's where most of the Sami have their herds.
Yeah.
Of reindeer.
Okay.
So when we're driving around, you don't really see, I mean, you see them occasionally, the reindeer, but as soon as you drive up, like, they're all over the road, like, all the time.
If you go toward over Tornio from here.
Yeah.
There's reindeer all on the highway. Like, yeah. you have to really watch for them because they'll just walk out in front of you.
That's hard to imagine. Not the case here in Stockholm. So quite not different so from place to place.
And then we have salmon in the river, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard the fishing is excellent. Do you do a lot of that?
Well, I want to.
We're so busy with the house that...
Yeah, I went twice in the summer, early, early in the morning, but the mosquitoes were pretty rough.
I've heard they're very bad up north in the summer.
I mean, I stayed for several hours, but it was bad. Like, I'd come home and just die from the mosquito bites. Now would be a good time. The river's not frozen. The trout should be running, but I haven't been.
So we live about, is it 150 yards, meters away from one of the last free roaming rivers in Sweden. So there's no dams. So that means there's salmon in our river right by our house. So that's awesome. The thing is, where we live is right when the river goes into the...
The Gulf.
Yeah, the Gulf of Bothnia. Uh-huh. So it's not very deep there, and it's really, it's like 2 kilometers wide. So really, to catch salmon, you have to go upstream.
Yeah, like Yakfall or somewhere like that. Yeah. Even past Yakfall.
Wow, this is just fascinating to me. I've never been salmon fishing, but I've never even seen those kind of areas.
Yeah, so yesterday was my birthday. Last year for my birthday, she bought me a salmon fishing pole.
So what happy belated birthday, thanks. By the way.
And this week I almost bought him an ice fishing tent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can stick on the same theme, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you gotten to spend any time in the rest of Sweden since you moved, or are you just extremely busy with the house?
Not as much as we want to do.
Yeah, we've been to Stockholm a little bit, and Luleå and Haparanda, I mean, that's pretty much our area here.
Yeah, we hope to eventually explore the north and then entire Sweden at some point. It's just when you live in a construction site, it's really hard to step away from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're off, there's always something, oh, I should do this or I should do that. And even if you're off for the weekend, like, oh, should we go somewhere? Or, oh, should we work on the house some more? So
really,
especially when the renovations are kind of weather dependent on a few things.
Yes, our summers are really short here. So it's always struggling to get everything winter ready.
So have you guys been to the IKEA in Haparanda?
A couple of times, but really it was...
It's a scary place, IKEA.
Just in general, not really the Haparanda one.
Well, no, the Haparanda one, because half the descriptions are in Finnish. I don't know if you've ever seen Finnish.
The first time we went to Haparanda was on our first trip to explore like the north of Sweden. We happened to find this house. We happened to make an offer. We would never expect them to accept the offer, but 2 hours later, our realtor said, your offer has been accepted. How do you proceed? And we're like, we don't know how to buy a house in Sweden. Like, you tell us how to proceed. So then we were like, oh, we have to look into, like, material prices. Like, how much is everything going to cost? So one of the first things we did is we went to IKEA. And I didn't even realize at that point that we were so close to the Finnish border. So I got in there with my 3 months of Swedish practicing, and I could read a bit, and I was super confused. Like, this does not make any sense.
I mean, Finnish is nowhere close to Swedish.
No, everything happened to it was written in Finnish, and then below that it was in Swedish, so I was trying to read the Finnish, and it did not make
sense. We buy a lot of our materials in Finland.
Yeah, mostly everything.
Just because you can go to Finland, and it's like going to Home Depot. Like, you can just walk in and get what you want.
Yeah. They always have everything in stock.
So.
Oh, okay. Why do you think that's different in Finland as compared to Sweden right across the border?
I don't know. There's more different stores.
I think that's how they keep the prices low here, is not stocking things.
Hi.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can think of. Like, our bow list here in Calix, is a tiny store. Like, you can order things and they ship it there, but...
But you gotta wait for it.
Yeah, you gotta wait. So we always have this thing like, just wait.
Yeah, that's what the Swedes say too. Just wait.
It seems to be the motto up there. I know we need to wrap this up, but I did have a question I wanted to ask. And that was, did you encounter anything very unexpected or surprising while renovating this 100-year-old house? Like, I know that you guys found a potato room, which I'd never heard of before, or at least you guys called it a potato room. Is this a common thing up north? Because I've never seen
100-year-old freezer, right? Mark would know, like, in Minnesota, they have the cold room.
Okay.
Well, we don't have in Texas. We would have the oven.
Yeah. We're going to smoke
just
some
stuff. Just bake cookies
out
in your car.
But we asked the realtor, like, oh, what's down there? And he's like, oh, I don't know. We couldn't open it.
It was screwed shut. So that was our first adventure, really, like opening the room and see what's down there.
You bought this house with a mysterious trap door into a room where you didn't know what was in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we think there's another room, so we won't find out until, I don't know, a couple weeks from now.
Oh, that's exciting. You have to film when you actually open that for the first time.
Well, I think it's a fuel oil tank under the living room.
Oh, okay. That would be good to know.
Yeah.
The first time the commune came by to turn the water on, obviously all our pipes were broken because they were sitting in the freezing cold and, you know, the house was abandoned and everything. The first thing that happened is he turned it on and we heard water running. The thing is, it wasn't coming out anywhere. And we could, like, hear it go down.
You could hear it falling.
Yeah. So we were like, what's down here? There's something below this floor. So,
well, that was a funny story in itself, too. Like, the guy was trying to make the water work. And then he's like, yeah, the pipes are broken. And he just threw the meter on the floor and gave me a little piece of pipe, like this long, and said,
good luck.
Good luck. And walked out.
Wow. Well, the things are done a little different up there.
Yeah. So as soon as we finish the porch and the siding, we're going to mess with the floor. We're going to try to replace it during the winter. That's going to be rough too, because, yeah.
Yeah, last year we had where the wood stove is, which is a small area, like 2.5 meters by 2.5 meters. And it was minus 16 when I had the floor out, and it was minus 16 downstairs. And we had these little electric heaters going, and they were going full blast, and it would just almost get tolerable.
Oh. Yeah.
So do you guys stay through the entire winter, or do you take off somewhere? I mean, a lot of us need to have a little break with some sunshine, some vitamin D. Have you gotten to that point yet?
No.
I mean, we get sunshine every day, actually. Just not
really,
much.
Because it's usually a cloud cover here most of the time in the winter.
Actually, Luleå usually has the town that's like the city that's closest to us, I would say, apart from Haparanda. Mm. For a couple years in a row, it turned out that one had the most sun hours in the entire country of Sweden. So for some reason, it's usually sunny up here compared to Stockholm.
And we're talking about the winter.
Yeah.
The entire year, really. The
most, well, last winter, she was at work, so she went to work and it was dark, and she came home and it was dark. But right. I would go to SFE and it was light.
Okay,
and then,
so how many hours of it being light do you think you get, like, in the deep winter?
I think in the deep winter, we get, like, 2 hours is the shortest day.
That was a bit more. I think it's 4 hours of daylight.
Well, it's like twilight. In the morning, in the morning, it's twilight, and then the sun peaks out for a little while, and then it's twilight again.
I think it's important that every single day we get at least a bit of sunlight, like the sun comes above the horizon. If you go above the Arctic Circle, you have days where you don't have the sunrise at all, so it's just...
Right.
You have the twilight, obviously, it gets a bit lighter, but you don't have the sun.
It's a pretty crazy difference what 80 kilometers can do.
Yeah. It's a bit more than an hour up north before you pass the Arctic Circle.
And when we drove here, we drove from Malmo to Stockholm. We did our customs check-in. We drove to Sundsvall. Mm-hmm. We slept for 2 hours and we drove here.
And so how long did that take?
From Switzerland to here was about 35 hours.
It's a 31-hour wow. drive that we, yeah, pretty much did in 35 hours. But that's a whole other podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, that was a rough ride.
You guys coming to talk to us and everything today. And I'm really looking forward to watching how the rest of this home renovation goes. And I'm going to imagine it's still going to be going for a while.
We have a long ride ahead of us. Yeah.
Well, I hope next summer we have quite a bit more done.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm going to be following you guys. So it's Project Sweden.
Yes.
And I guess you just look that up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then you find where to go.
Project Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the channel, Project Sweden.
Okay. And I really encourage everyone to tune into this. It is so fascinating. I mean, you also, it's not just the house renovation. You also talk a little bit about life in Northern Sweden and the different seasons. So it's very fascinating for anybody who wants to learn about life up north.
We've been a little less creative toward the end of summer here.
But we just got so much to do. Well, we'll get back into it.
We were, we were busy. Yeah. So
winter's coming.
And then, but now I think we're going to have a couple long videos coming out real soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
super. So that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, I have to, I'm going to say goodbye, and I'm going to say goodbye on behalf of Mark, whose mic is broken, but he's still here.
he's very sad.
He's very sad.
It's all right, Mark. You can just call.
Yeah.